And we're all kind of buying into materialism, thinking we need more things and we want more stuff. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about, imagine that you have this in your pocket, this credit card, like this guy rocking out on his guitar. Buy all the things, and you have this, and this is a magical credit card that no matter how much you spend, it never runs out, and you're never responsible to pay any bills. It's actual money that you have an endless, infinite supply, and this is in your back pocket. Now imagine that's yours. And I want you to suspend all of your Jesus thinking for a minute and just pretend like you're a normal human. That you're thinking and you have your Solomon blinder on, that you're only looking at things under the sun and thinking about the pleasures that we turn to, and think about all those things for just a minute. If you have this credit card and you could go out right now and buy anything, no matter what the price, what would it be? Raise your hand.
Puppies.
Yeah.
Traveling the world.
You're traveling the world.
Can't do it now.
Yeah, amazing. Go get food. you could buy a chain of steak.
Dustar.
Go to the nice town.
Yeah, Ben.
I'd buy a huge chunk of land.
Land.
Yes.
Buy the kitchen my mom always wanted.
Buy the kit. No, you're not supposed to think Jesus things right now. This is about you.
You're selfish.
You're selfish, yes.
I'll give you
a Canon camera. These are not super high dollar. Like
I would
this
buy.
This is limitless.
I would buy everybody.
Yes.
Okay, all of you would be mine. And then no, I can still do it. It says I can buy anything I want. And then I would focus us all on developing the ability to go to other planets and harvest materials and build our own Death Star.
What are we defining?
And then we're gonna fly around and blow up planets.
Yes.
Or a space station.
Yes.
So, me. But Death Star.
I would buy preferably all the musical instruments and learn how to play all of them.
Robot.
Excellent. Private lessons.
I would. Didn't you have your hand?
I would buy Submarine United and roll
with
them.
Yes.
Not fair, they're a worship band.
I wouldn't buy it. They're my favorite band, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
I'd buy every school, and then I'd burn it.
One more school for you!
We're like, what could we do that would make our world dumber?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Kanerka.
I'd buy all the puppies I wanted.
Would you buy a new screen?
That's a lot. Because
for
I love
dinner.
Puppies.
No! Why would
you eat puppies?
I thought you were going a different direction.
No. She's going to buy them all for dinner and treat them to dinner. Like, we'll all be at like a giant banquet table. You and your puppies.
Give them little puppy napkins.
And buy people and make them wear collars and drink
apples. Yeah, become them. Something
else.
And then
I have good ideas.
Hard,
so I get filthy rich.
What? I have
good ideas.
Excellent.
Okay.
You're
already
filthy rich.
Now, I want you to think seriously for just a minute. Is there something that you really, some of you know there's something that has a hold in your heart that you really want, and maybe it's something that you either maybe spend a lot of money on already. Think about that thing that you long for, that possession, and just hang on to that as we go through this, because we're going to read today about how Solomon tried to find satisfaction in possessions, in materialism, in worldly possessions, and he was trying to find satisfaction. And I think you know how it's going to go, if he's going to find it or not. But open with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4. It's going to go. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4.
Anybody need a Bible?
Oh, yeah, there's Bibles in the corners if anybody needs one. And Megan, will you pass that basket of highlighters and pens around in case anybody wants them? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4.
What is it?
Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4. Okay, I am praying right now. Lord Jesus, will you please get our wiggles out and help us to focus on you right now, Jesus? Help us to focus not on each other, but focus on your word. We want to hear from you, Lord Jesus. We want you to change us, Holy Spirit. We want you to make things stand out to us from the Bible. We want you to speak to us, because all we want right now is to hear from you. And we want to love and treasure you more than anything else and anyone else on this earth. Change our hearts now and speak to us, please. Keep us focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4. And as you read this with me, I want you to imagine this is you, not Solomon, that has all this money that he's blowing on all kinds of stuff. Imagine this is you, okay? He says in verse 4, I undertook great projects. Now, this, in some translations, some of you might have increased my possessions. Undertook great projects could be translated, I increased my possessions. I wanted all these things. So what kind of things? What kind of possessions? Well, it says, I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. So what are some of the possessions or projects that he got for himself?
Gardens.
Houses.
Fruit.
Vineyards.
Yards. Food.
Yards.
Parks. Fruit trees.
And parks and fruit trees. Okay, look, that word parks is actually the word paradeis, and that speaks of what was known as what was called pleasure grounds for Persian kings. And that got translated into Greek to the word paradisos. Can you guess what English word we get from that?
Paradise.
So, paradise sauce. Just kidding. So think about it. Here's Solomon. He's thinking, where on earth is there satisfaction to reach the pit of my soul where I'm longing for something? Is it possibly in possessions, stuff I can buy? Well, let me start with getting a big old fat house. Let me start with building vineyards and gardens with sort of this paradise park that me and my friends can just hang out in and just wallow in our luxury. And what that makes me think of is there's an old show that used to be on a while back on MTV called Cribs. And they'd have crazy tours of crazy houses like this. And I picture Solomon building some sort of equivalent in his day that would be something like this in our day, where it's just this ridiculous, unnecessary amount of luxury. And he's building...
There's Solomon right there by the pool.
Yeah.
Put some shoes.
He's taking a
selfie.
Solomon.
Wait, is that
Solomon?
And verse 6 says, I made reservoirs, or we might say pools, or man-made ponds or lakes to water the groves of flourishing trees. And notice how many times do you see the word I in verses 4, 5, and 6? Four times. Four times in three verses.
Yeah.
Four, one, two, three.
Myself.
Four.
I got six just for 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, you did?
Myself.
So different translations. Mine says, I undertook great projects. I built houses. I made gardens and parks. And it says, I made reservoirs. So he's talking about him and what he wants. And there's also, depending on your translation, the word myself shows up a lot also. It shows up 8 times in verses 4 through 8. And I want to show you a translation that highlights that repetition a little bit more. The NET translation says it like this. I increased my possessions. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I designed royal gardens and parks for myself. And I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I constructed pools of water for myself. So, who's he all about right now?
Himself.
And indulging in what he wants through possessions. And it says in verse 7, I bought male and female slaves. So that word slaves, if you picture a certain race being whipped and that kind of thing, that's not the right picture here. It's more along the lines of a maid or a servant or maybe even an employee. That here Solomon had a ton of maids and employees. And they had other slaves, and he had other slaves who were born. Sorry, let me start over. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. So he made a contract with or purchased these slaves, and then they started having children. So he had lots of servants and lots of maids working for him. And if you can imagine being some super rich guy with a little bell that as soon as you ring that, there's people will come running from everywhere to do whatever you want. Like this guy, he didn't even need the bell. Like he's got people standing around him all the time just waiting for whatever he needs. If it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and he's like, it's not lunch, it's not dinner, but I want a couple dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. Then there's three people standing right there that said, I'll go get it. You know, it's just like, imagine if it's you, you've got people around you all the time that are ready to go and run and do whatever you want. He had anything and everything. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. So the word herds there, some of you that translates into, okay, herds means money. I get that, but for others of us, I want us to think, maybe that doesn't connect for you. Put the word cars in there, okay? I also own more cars. Or you could say, I had a bigger wardrobe than anyone else in town, that I had anything and everything that I wanted. And verse 8, it says, I amassed. What does that word amassed mean? Gathered or piled up or earned or whatever you want to say there.
He
amassed silver and gold for myself. There's not myself again. And the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers. So this is his own personal entertainment that he owned. This would be kind of like having this going on in his living room all the time. He had his own The Voice going on where he had singers that were there. Just he didn't have TV and he didn't have to go to concerts. He just brought it all right here to him because he could, because he had limitless wealth. So, and then it says, and so I amassed silver and gold for myself. We're in verse 8. And the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well. The delights of the heart of man. So what's a harem?
Concubines.
Prostitute.
Yeah, that's a harsh way of saying it, but not too far off the truth. He had lots of wives. He, hundreds. 700, to be precise. That's just his wives. Yeah. So, listen, guys, if this is you, imagine you have hundreds of beautiful women around you. And you might think, man, that'd be pretty awesome. Let's see how it turned out for Solomon here. I think I have it on the slide here. We read this several weeks back, but by way of reminder, look at how it panned out for Solomon. 1 Kings 11. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, you must not marry them, because they will turn your hearts to their gods. Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. So those were wives, and there's another 300 specifically for the purpose of child rearing, bearing.
It took him 2 years to marry them.
And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God, as his father David had been. And here's the result of what God did to him as because of this. Sorry, not yet. Solomon built shrines for all his foreign wives to use for burning incense and sacrificing to their gods. So he ended up paying for and providing and building for their false worship of false gods. And he is buying into it because he let them turn his heart away. And this is what God did. The Lord was very angry with Solomon, for his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel. So now the Lord said to him, "Since you have not kept my covenant and have disobeyed my decrees, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your servants." So because of this, he doesn't get to be king. He is for now, but he's going to end up getting the kingdom torn away from him because he went after all of these foreign wives against the Lord's command and decree, and brought on himself the anger and judgment of the Lord. So, yes,
me. David. I don't know if I read this right or not, but didn't God say this is going to happen, but it's not going to happen while you're alive?
That's right. That's right. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Or not going to happen, was it while you're alive or while...
In your lifetime, I think is
yeah.
what it said.
Yeah. Okay. So, where were we? Yes, thank you. Verse 9. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. How does he, if you're using the word greater the way Solomon is using the word greater, he's saying he's greater than anyone. How do you think he would define the word greater? How's he using that word right now?
Wealthier.
Wealthier. Yeah. And it says, in all my wisdom, in all this, my wisdom stayed with me. Remember he said that last week. Do you remember that? When he was checking out pleasure and all that it had to offer, he said, my wisdom stayed with me. So it's like he's still being a good scientist. He's running an experiment right now, and he's trying to find out if there is satisfaction to be found in possessions. Then in verse 10, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Look at those words, denied and refused. Those are two different ways of saying no. And he said, I did not say no to myself, to my fleshly desires, anything that my sinful fleshly body wanted, I gave it to it. I never said no. Have any of you seen this movie?
Yes.
He ended up doing all this crazy stuff, riding motorcycles with no hands and bungee jumping and all this stuff. Why? Because he was... There's this little spell he thought done on him where he was not able to use the word no. He had to say yes to anything. And that's kind of the situation Solomon is in here. Anything his body wanted, he said, yes, yes, more, yeah, bring it on, and just let it come. And so he, whatever possessions, whatever thing, whatever he wanted, his body, his flesh wanted to buy, he said yes. He was the yes man, and it said, my heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Now, this is kind of interesting because it says, in all his work, and all because he worked to earn and to build all these things, so he has all these possessions, and they're not completely empty. Look, it says that his heart took what?
Pleasure
or delight or joy. So there is something that comes, but it's kind of the same way that cotton candy tastes really good at first, right? That there is a level of something good, but it doesn't last. It's like cotton candy when as soon as it touches your tongue, it's gone. And it's that same way with our worldly possessions. And he says, my heart took delight in all of it, because this was the reward for my labor. But I know that it's limited because of what the very first word of the very next verse says, yet. That's another contrast word, like but or. So, there is reward, but, or yet. When I surveyed, what does surveyed mean? What's another word for that? Look. Yeah, when I looked at all that my hands had done and what I had toiled or worked hard to achieve, meaning all of my stuff, when I looked at all this stuff, it gave me a little bit of pleasure, like cotton candy, but when I looked at all this stuff, here's his conclusion. The experiment is over. He's given into all these different things. He's bought anything and everything he could imagine. Went crazy with spending, said yes to everything. Now he looks at all of it. And here's his conclusion. Say it with me. Everything was meaningless. It didn't satisfy. It wasn't long-term, long-lasting satisfaction. And it was a chasing after the wind. There's that phrase again. We've seen that before. What does chasing after the wind mean? What's he trying to say?
Impossible.
It's impossible. It's futile. It's a waste of time to try to find lasting satisfaction for your soul in stuff, in things that we can buy. And it says nothing was gained under the sun, meaning nothing lasted. No feeling of excitement or exhilaration from all of his stuff lasted. So, to review, you'll remember this. Earth can't satisfy. Progress can't satisfy. Wisdom can't satisfy. Like piling up knowledge can't satisfy. Pleasure can't satisfy. And all I achieved was meaningless, meaning the possessions that we earn or buy simply cannot satisfy. Things that we want to buy. But we still try, don't we? We still spend lots of money on stuff thinking that it's going to satisfy. So I want you to think for just a minute. In fact, I don't want you to think. I want you to talk to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Close your eyes for just a minute. And I want you to ask him, Lord Jesus, where do I spend too much money? Or maybe you have no money, but you're dreaming of one day when you get a paycheck, you know where you're going to blow it all right away. Where do you want to spend too much money? Or where are you already spending too much money? Ask the Lord and see what thoughts he puts in your heart. Okay, now, I want you to be careful, and I want you to know when you buy that stuff, when you throw that money at that thing, or that hobby, or that person, I want you to be careful because you're not just throwing money at it. You're throwing more than just money at it. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Treasures, you can put in the word possessions. On earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But, that's a contrast, on the opposite, here's what you need to do. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Well, why? Why is that so important? Why should I spend for stuff in heaven instead of stuff on earth? Well, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I want you to get this picture. Wherever you're throwing money, you're not only throwing money, you're also throwing your heart. Where your money goes, your heart follows. Now this might be a weird visual, but I want you to go there with me. Imagine that any time you throw money at something or hobby or something you're going to buy or some person or wherever you're going to spend a lot of money, I want you to imagine that that money is a grappling hook. And there's a chain attached to your heart. And when you're throwing money at that thing, you're just throwing out an anchor for your heart. And where you spend, that's now where your heart is wrapped up. So you can choose if you're going to spend and pour your money out on things of this earth or things of Jesus and things of His kingdom and things of heaven. It makes me think of this dude. Y'all know who this is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley. Jacob Marley.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob Marley. Yeah. The Scrooge's friend. The greedy materialistic guy that now is weighted down. And that's the way our money is. When we spend it on things of this earth, those possessions become anchors that just slow us down and weigh us down. And you guys have seen it happen. You have a friend that puts a lot of money into a brand new truck or a brand new car. And then what do they obsess about? That car. You put a lot of money into a car and they're buying new rims or washing it 5 times a week and they'll park. Everybody gathers at the movie and you're saying, well, where is he? Well, he parked on the other side of the street because he didn't want anyone near his car because he didn't want to get a dent in it. Because it's like, when you put a lot of money in something, you're going to stress over that thing a lot. Like if you buy a used car for a couple $100, you're not going to care about it. You're not going to lose any sleep. You're going to have a normal attachment to that car. You put everything you've got into some car and making payments on something that you can't really afford, this becomes your God now. You stress about it all the time. And the more places that we dump tons of money, the more anchors we have here on planet Earth. Or we can push our money out to things of Jesus. And instead of having all these anchors down here on Earth that keep us weighed down, we're tossing up hooks up to heaven that like lift us up and lift our gaze and lift our hearts to where now we're not thinking about all this stuff that we have to worry about managing all of our possessions. We're worried about Jesus and what He wants us to do and how He wants us to live. And we're not tied down by these things. So be careful. When you're spending money, when you're throwing a lot of money at something, it's your heart too. It's not just money. And where your treasure is, where your money goes, your heart follows. Here's what we need to do. We need to arm ourselves with the truth. You need to know that Jesus is the only possession that truly satisfies. Let me say it this way. Knowing Jesus is the only possession of infinite value. Knowing Jesus, truly knowing Him, being one with Him, having a relationship with Him, is the only possession of infinite, eternal value. That's what Paul says in Philippians 3. And I want, as I read this, I want you to let this verse be your prayer. Philippians 3. I once thought these things were valuable, thinking of all of the possessions that we dump all of our money into, that we look for satisfaction in. All those things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I hope that whatever that thing is that you spend too much money on or think about spending too much money on, I hope that you can look at that as worthless compared with what's the only treasure of infinite value. It's knowing Christ Jesus. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. That same power that raised him from the dead is in you. And you can know him. And you can be close to him. And if you pour your resources and your heart and your time into him, you will be satisfied. It won't be an anchor to earth. It will be freeing you up to live for him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you please change our hearts? Whatever the possession is that each one of us kind of long for and kind of daydream about a little too much, I pray that it would be strangely dim in our hearts compared to you, Jesus. That we would see you as infinitely more valuable and infinitely more satisfying because you are, Lord Jesus. Help us to pour our everything into you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.